Yes, the rate. I scared them. The rate that they gone, then they gone. Okay. A good vach. So it's good to have Shevim again. Gives us that feeling of chazara. And the Rebbe became the minig to use these weeks, the chaza, the chznida, and other halachas that are negeya to ishus. In the Torah, we find two parshiyos that discuss the halachas of nida. In Parshas Tazria, we're over there, mainly the Torah is discussing the halachas tum of a taira, of isha nida, a man who lives with isha nida. And then later on in Parshas Achrei Mois, we have the Dine Arayis. Over there, where the Torah is listing all the 36 Arayis, one Arayis is a man who lives with isha nida. And then we have also the Parsha of Nida, the Parsha of Zava, Zava Gdala, Zava Ktana. And that's not, unfortunately, that's not so negated, and that's not negated at all nowadays, we'll put it that way. Therefore, we're not going to go into that. We're going to try to stick to what's negated halacha l'maisa. The halachas that we'd like to discuss tonight is how and when does a isha become tummy? Does she become usher to her husband? Which is based on in Shulchan Aruch, Yerdei Sim Kuf Begimel, Kuf Tzadi. And before we begin, just to give a basic picture of what we're referring to over here is that, more or less, as a rough description, the lower part of the isha is like two pieces of skin that are coming down very close to each other. Not totally close, but close to each other. This is the uterus. This is where the baby lies throughout pregnancy and it grows with pregnancy. And then beneath that, there's a little passageway about 2 or 3 centimeters, which is the cervix. It's called the proizder. And that all leads, the proizder leads into the beis achitim, which is the lower part where the aver is nichnas b'shas tashmish, when she has dubedikis, that's where she's going into the beis achitim, which is known as the vagina. The top part over here, which is the uterus, in Hebrew it's called, different names we find, the aim, the rechem, the kever, and in modern Hebrew it's the rechem, and the passageway is the tzavah rechem. But along the walls of the rechem, along the walls of the uterus, there's a layer of blood vessels which build up with blood throughout the month. And then if she became pregnant or she is pregnant, it's used to give off nutrients to the baby that's lying there. If not, then that layer sheds and the blood then leaves through the proizder out the body. At the same time, there's what's called psichas ha-mekar, psichas ha-kever, it opens up to let the dam out. The dam that we're referring to is this dam that's coming from this layer of blood vessels that shed and the dam leaves the body. Any other dam, even if it's coming from that area, if it's a maka or it's something else, will not make her awesome. So when we talk about Ishiki Sazov, Ishu is having a flow of dam, that's the dam that we're referring to as dam nidus. Now, in order for Isha to become Tmeya min ha-teira, and I stress min ha-teira, besides seeing dam, she also needs to have what's called a hargasha. She has to have a sensation, she has to feel or know or be aware that now she's having, her flow is coming. And there are different examples of what's considered hargasha given in the Paiskim. But halacha l'maisa, isha, midrabanan, and also min ha-teira. Nowadays, isha could become asa min ha-teira, even though she'll tell us, I did not feel any hargasha. And not only that, I just want to also mention that what women feel is not what's considered hargasha. Therefore, they don't have to pay attention to these feelings that they're feeling. It's not important. For Isha to become Aser, she doesn't have to have that Hargasha. And when she does have that Hargasha, just leave it alone and don't worry about it. So how does an Isha become Aser to her husband? So we're going to break it down into three ways. Number one, if she gets her flow, she gets her period. She says, my period is here. She got her period. At that point, she's usher. Number two, if she was doing a bedika, for whatever reason she had to do a bedika, and there are very specific times when she has to do a bedika, Chazal were very clear to us when she has to do a bedika, such as during the Zayin Nikiyim, on the days of Vestis, otherwise we don't find that she has to do a bedika. So she's doing the bedika during those times when she's supposed to do bedika, and on the bedika cloth she finds dam, even a very small amount, even if it's a little dot of dam, that will make her asa. The third way is if she finds a stain of blood on her body or on her baget in a place where it's possible that it came from her. In such a case, that could make her asa. There's differences between when she finds on an abedika, over there we said even if it's a small amount, a very small amount, to when she finds a stain of blood on her body or her begin. In order for the stain to make her asa, she would need four tanayim, three or four, however you want to count it. Tanayim number one is, it has to be found on something which is mekabel tuma. What does it mean, mekabel tuma? Something which could receive tuma, which means that if she's going to find it on a toilet paper, or on a pad, or a liner, or on the toilet, or in the toilet, or on the floor, in the bathtub, on the bathtub, all these things are not mekabel tuma, so she would not become asa because of a kesem. That would not make her asa. If she finds it on a beged, on her underwear, on a beged, or on her body that is mekabel tuma, that's where you fulfill the first tanai of a kesem being metame a person. The second tanai is that it has to be white. What's considered white? White is, like my shirt, anything which is darker than your white shirt. If you go to a store and you ask them for a white shirt and they can show you this color and you'll say, this is not white. That's not white. But what's considered white is white. Has to be white. Anything darker than white will not be a problem of kesem. So we have, number one, has to be found on something which is mekabel tuma. Number two, has to be on something which is white. Number three, has to be the size of a kigris void. What's a kigris void? That practically means if it reaches the size of a ten agarot, then already that's the shear that will make her asa. Meaning more than a shekel, which is a ten agarot, that will make her asa. So if you take a ten agarot and you put it down on it, which many times you'll be surprised, a ten agarot is bigger than you think it is. A shekel is also bigger than you think it is. Some of the people are assuming that it's for sure that amount, and then when they put it down, they see it's not that amount. So if it reaches the shear of a kigris void, then that you're fulfilling that tonight of becoming asa through a kesem. So we have on davam kabel tuma, which we excluded with that, tissues, toilet paper, and many other things. We have on white as opposed to colored. We have the shear of kigris void. Now, sometimes it's a little difficult measuring the shear kigris void for one of a few reasons. Either because it's not in a circular shape, or because it's not all red, there's some other colors over there, or it's on a bag that has white and colored, and I'm not sure how much is on the white, how much is on the colored, or different situations like this. So then it's kedai to speak to a rav, especially if it's at a time when you're not expecting to see. So why not ask a shayla before you decide that it's no good? Now, sometimes even if it's on a beged where there's a fold or a seam, that will split the kesem. If there's a seam over there, that will split the kesem into two different ksamim. Then the fourth tanai is tzalia. If I have what to attach it to, if I have what to attach this to, even if I don't know for sure it came from there, but it's possible that it came from this other cause, so then I can be tzalia in the tzalia. What's a practical tzalia? A maka sometimes. Women, many women, it's a sensitive area. They have sometimes a makis over there, they have wounds. A petza, they have wounds. And we may be able to tell in that. Sometimes the Rav will say this looks like a maka, and he'll be able to make a tzaliyah on his own. Sometimes the Rav will send it to a nurse who's trained by Rabbanim to know what to look for, and will write a letter exactly what she sees, and then the Rav will have to compare the kesem or the ria. This is whatever, this even negate to if she'll see something on the eid bedika and be telling that. Sometimes women have hemorrhoids or UTI, urine tract infection, which also could have dam sometimes, depending on how bad it is. So these are different tliyas that one would be able to make. Now, when we talk about dam, dam is not just anything that comes from the isha. It's what we consider red. What we consider dam, what we consider red, is the big machlekes between paiskim, minakotza lakotza. So for sure in the beginning, or even if it's not the beginning, a lot of times it may not be clear to the person whether this is considered red or not. And this is very important for eid bedikas also. You may see something that looks red, and it's really a piece of schmutz. It's not even red, or it's red, but it's not my outside thing. So again, especially if it's at a time where you're not, where she says there's no reason why I should be seeing, or like it's strange that I'm only seeing one little dot on a bedika cloth. So then it's worthwhile bringing it to the Rav to find out if this is considered red or not. We mentioned before that when the dam comes out, there's what's called a psichas makar. I don't want to get too complicated with this, but for some reason some chassan teachers teach it to their chassanim. And there is a rule, ein psichas makar b'lay dam. It's true, the makar doesn't open without dam leaving. There's a lot of discussion in the shaynim paiskim. When do we say this rule? When do we say this rule? And therefore, not every time a person goes to the doctor and the doctor does a internal, doesn't mean that there was a psichas makar. Matter of fact, most of the times, if not almost all the times, there was no psichas makar. It's a very painful procedure. They don't do it usually. And even if there was, you ask the doctor for the instrument that he used, the test that he was doing, and then just write it down and speak to the Rav and find out from there if there's any assumption that there was a psichas makar, that we assume that there was some dam that came out from it. So like I said, so most checkups where the doctor should not be an issue. If one's worried about it, then they should speak to a Rav. And in general, also might be kedai to speak to a Rav before you go to the doctor for these procedures, just to find out what you should ask the doctor, or maybe sometimes not to ask the doctor, that to prevent any issues. What we did not discuss tonight is if it starts off with staining and then leads into a flow, at what point do we consider it a kesem? At what point do we consider it a re'iyah? And once we consider Rias, and then it's over. She's Asa, that was the first step. Because it could depend on many different situations, on how much is she staining, how often is she staining, where is she holding in her cycle or in nursing and pregnant, whatever it may be. There's a lot of different pratim. So again, a shayla needs to be asked, at what point is it considered still a kesem, and what point does it turn into a ri'ya? Just as a basic rule, we work with, if you take your three middle fingers, I'm just showing you because a lot of times this is what you'll hear on the phone, so you'll get a clear picture. Take your three middle fingers and drawing a rectangle around these three middle fingers. If the kesem that she's finding is not larger than this, let's say she's wearing a pad and she's switching it three or four times throughout the day, and she's not finding a kesem larger than this shear at one time. So in general, we'll assume that it's still in the parasha of Kesamim, and as long as it's following through with those tanoim that we mentioned, she'll still be mutter. Once it reaches more than three fingers, then already you have a shaila, and you need to ask a rav what to do. If throughout the day, each time, three, four times, you're finding a full two fingers, then also, once you ask a shayla, what to do. But it's either three or four times two fingers, two full fingers, or once more than three fingers, then you ask a shayla. Doesn't mean she's automatically usher. So just to sum it up again, there's three ways for Isha to become usher. Either she receives her period, and at that point she's usher, or we said that she finds dam on Eid Bedika, and again, even if it's a small amount, but it has to be what we consider dam, which there are different psakim and different rabbanim what's considered dam. Number three is that she finds a kesem, which means a stain of blood on her body or on her beged. It's something that's makabotoma, something that's white, and it's the shear of kegris va'oid. If there's any questions whether this is considered dam or not, or there's any questions how to figure out the shear of the kegris or not, ask a shayla. And also there's no taliyah. I don't have what to attach it to assume that it's coming from somewhere else. Also, this may be good to speak to a Rav who has experience, because sometimes he could help you find a taliyah, which you may not be able to think of on your own, and sometimes you may think of a taliyah, which he'll tell you is not a good taliyah. So sometimes it's good to speak it over. And then we spoke about doctor appointments that b'derech klal should not be a problem. However, in cases where one's worried, speak to Rav before and or after. Okay, any questions? These dinim are the same. The only thing that the question I was asked is, are these dinim the same at the time when you're expecting your period or not? The only thing that may change is at what point do we consider it no longer a kesem and aria. Once you hit that shear of a big stain, then yeah, one of the questions the Rav may take into consideration is that since you're expecting a period, so this may be the beginning of the flow. That's the last. You may gain a day or two. You may not. Yeah, any other?
If she found it, and it's really the bath of her, so we say since it's not in the cavatoma, so then she's okay, but do we say that she has to check to see that?
Oh, so this is what, good question, great question. When I said before, we only do bedikas that are mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, which is during the Zainakim on the days of Vestas, it should have been clearer. If you find a kesem that your mutter, The Rav said it's mutter, or a kesim was on narim kavatama, or it wasn't on white, therefore you mutter. There's no din bedik over there, and you should not do a bedik, because all that will do is make you usser now for an extra few days. So you do not do a bedik. However, the Rav may say to you, but don't be together for the next few hours, or let's wait overnight to see what happens. That's mitzad preventive. The Rav doesn't want you to run into an issue and be with her and then see dam. So therefore he tells you, wait overnight. Or maybe the Rav will say, do a kinuach, which means, kinuach means that she should wipe herself from the outside, but not to do a bedika. When you wipe yourself from the outside with a tissue, tissue is not makal tuma. So even if she'll find dam on it, so we know that something's beginning, but it won't make her us again until it actually happens. So therefore, a bedik is not done. Answered it clearly?
Yes.
Good, I'm happy you asked that question. Yes?
Why does it always say that you should ask your rights even if she doesn't have regression?
So for that, you'll have to join the first five chaburas of Hilchos Nida. I'm not going to go through that right now. Yeah?
Is there any time when we could rely on a taliya for a bedika?
Yes, 100%. It'll have to be a stronger taliya. But again, it's possible to rely on a taliya for a bedika. But it's going to be have to be a stronger taliyah than a taliyah by a kesem. By a kesem, it's going to be much easier with taliyahs. But yes, the answer is yes. Okay? No. It's not mekabotum, it's also not baduk. So for a few reasons, it's whether it's mekabotum or not is a achlekes in hilchos tumah v'tairus, based on a steer and Rambams. But there's another reason also that it's not going to make her awesome because it's not bad. Okay? Fine? Have a wonderful week. What did I leave at?